Psalm 28:7. If you take notes, I've entitled it Omnipotent Strength. Omnipotent Strength. Psalm 28:7. Thus says the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Our text this morning is a testimony of David's relationship with God, and it's a confession of his faith in God. And he begins it with, "The Lord is my strength." What a wonderful set of words. The Lord is my strength. Five words that each and every one of you who know Christ can claim every day. Throughout David's life, he testified over and over again that God was his strength. As a boy, as a young man, he told King Saul in 1 Samuel 17:37, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And he did. As a man, David depended on God's strength to keep him safe while he was being hunted like a deer, like an animal, by Saul. In Psalm 57:1, he writes of that, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed." Now remember, for 12 years he was on the run from a king who was in his heart to kill him. And every time he got close, or every situation he was in, God delivered him. And as king of Israel, King David never lost a battle because he depended on God to deliver his enemies to him. He never went out in his own strength and said, I'm going to go deliver them myself. He always waited for God to deliver his enemies. Psalm 56:9. He says, "When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me." You see, David understood the basic principle of power. The basic principle of power. He got it. He understood it perfectly well. He knew man's power. Our power is limited to technology and numeric strength. That's man's power. Our technology and our numeric strength. We see on the news that China has a 2-million-man army. That's numeric strength. That's an awesome army. And their technology, maybe not as good as ours, but they have some technology. That's their strength. But God's power, now God's power is unlimited in every respect. He's sovereign. He is the creator. So for the most of David's life, he was smart enough to choose to tap into God's power instead of using his own power. Perhaps that's why God calls him a man after his own heart. And what was true of David is also true of you and I. Every day, believers make a conscious decision to either walk in their own strength, or we decide, "The Lord is my strength." Every day. Sometimes we do it unconsciously, but every day we make that decision. And when we decide to walk in our own strength, we're basically telling God, "Look, I can handle my life. I'm 50 years old. I'll handle today myself. Thank you very much. I can take care of myself. I graduated from high school." That's what we're telling God. When we do that, what we're doing is we're disconnecting from the infinite power source, and we're depending on an old battery that has always failed us in the past. Everyone listening to what I just said can give a testimony to that truth. Since all of us have seen the result of walking in our own strength. All of us have seen what happens when we try to make things happen in a good way. All of us see how we can try to comfort ourselves or comfort other people, all limited. When we walk in our own strength, sooner or later, we run out of power, just like an old battery. And I would be remiss if I didn't remind you that walking in our own strength is also walking just like a worldling, somebody outside of Christ. They do not walk in the strength of God, the Lord. They walk in their own strength 24/7. Some for all of their lives. They never know Christ, so they never have that power source available to them. When you walk like a worldling, there's no God, there's no strength, and there's absolutely no victory. And I want to tell you, there's also a warning about doing that. There's a warning in Jeremiah 17:5 about walking in our own strength. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in a man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. That's a curse. Instead of that, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 teaches us, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's being connected to the right power source. That's walking in the strength of the Lord and not in your own strength. And that's exactly what we do when we acknowledge him. That's exactly what we do when we testify that the Lord is my strength. I wonder how many of us have done that out loud to ourselves or even thought about it. How many of us have thought, you know, I think I'm going to walk in the strength of the Lord today. I'm going to try to get through the day with his strength instead of my strength. I wonder how many of us have done that. How many of us have even thought to do that? If the Lord is your strength, let me tell you what happens. First and foremost, you abandon the little kingdom of I and cling to the strength of your Savior. It's no longer about what I want to do. It's that I have a day to go through, and Lord, you're leading and I'm following. And let me ask you, what problem, what situation, what fiery furnace in life can overcome us if we have the strength of God? What can overcome us? Doesn't Romans say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Scripture is filled, just saturated with verses that speak to the supernatural power given to the elect to handle difficulties of life. Before I talk about a few of them, how about chapter 11 of Hebrews? How about the heroes of the faith? They weren't walking in their own strength. They were all walking in God's strength. You can't be a martyr without having God's strength. It's impossible to do. You'll run. You'll forsake your faith. They never did. They were given that gift. And you have the same gift of faith. And how about Psalm 41:3? The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. How about Psalm 43:2? You are the God of my strength. And Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And my favorite is Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, comma, yes, comma, I will help you, comma, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Man, you can't get more particular than that. He's spelling that out. Now, I want to ask you something. Just based on those four verses, what have you ever done in your strength that matches that? What could you do? You can't change your life, right? Can anybody here change their life on their own? No. Why? Because if you could change your life, you would have changed it years ago. Because there's all things about us that we want, that we don't like, we want to get rid of. But God can do it if you walk in his strength. He did it when he made you one of his people. He gave you a new heart. He made you a new creature. And he left just enough of you, your will and your flesh, he left just enough of you that you'll have to struggle. And he doesn't want you to struggle and do it in your strength. He wants you to struggle and do it in his strength, because if you do it in his strength, you'll always have the victory. If you don't, you won't. It's that simple. And in addition to that, testifying that the Lord is my strength, if you look at that verse, David goes on to say, he's also my shield. Now, the term shield refers to an ancient piece of armor. Normally what it was a piece of wood, thick wood, that had a tough leather covering over it, or many pieces of tough leather. And then they put oil or lard on it so that the arrows or the swords would slide off of it. It's used a dozen times in Scripture to depict God as a protector of his people. He's our shield. Psalm 5:12 describes this metaphor perfectly. The psalmist writes, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield." Right around you. So when you're going through your life, you're shielded from so much that you're not even aware of. And we see a perfect example of Christ being a shield to one of his disciples in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Satan wanted a piece of Peter. And God said, "Nope, I'm shielding him. He can't have him." And the Lord Jesus is our shield, yours and my shield, because right now he's interceding for us. Romans 8:34. "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Christ intercedes for us all the time. And if that wasn't enough, the Lord Holy Spirit is also our shield because he intercedes for us. Romans 8:26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us." We're shielded. We're shielded from all the evil that's in this world. And only God's people are shielded. The other people, they have the lost world, they have a hedge of protection. It keeps them all sane. We have a hedge of protection, but we have a shield too. That, beloved, is how the Lord is your strength and your shield. Look at the next section of text. I love this part because this is the power part. This is the power section of the verse. David explains here exactly how the Lord is my strength and my shield. He testifies, "My heart trusted in him and I am helped." How about that for meat and potatoes theology? I trusted in him and I am helped, period. I trusted in him. That means David claimed the omnipotent power of the Lord by having faith in him, faith in his promises, faith in his word. And the Psalms are filled with examples of David trusting God. Psalm 34:19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Psalm 37:23-34. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." And David tells us how he really feels about God in Psalm 18:2-3. Listen to this. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies." 8 things in that short verse that he claims from God. My rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my shield, my salvation, my stronghold. Now let me ask you, how many things do you claim from God, from His Word? That's all David's doing. He's claiming them. That verse says, my heart trusted in Him. That word means faith. I had faith. I trusted in God. I trusted Him to be my rock. I trusted Him to be my fortress. I trusted Him to be my deliverer, my God, my strength, my stronghold, my salvation. I trusted Him for all of that. And I have faith that will not be moved, that those things will come to pass in my life. And I would dare say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did the same thing when they were thrown into the furnace. And Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. Exactly the same thing. When Joseph was buried, put in prison, accused of a false crime, he was steadfast. He believed God would take care of him, and He did. That, beloved, is a testimony of a faithful man who appropriated the omnipotent strength of God as his own. And I want to tell you something. There might be somebody here who's thinking to themselves, well, you know, that's David. That's not me. I'm not a man after God's own heart, for sure. Well, guess what? You are. Guess what? If you're saved, you belong to Him, and you are His inheritance. And you have the right and the duty, I might add, to claim those promises the same way David did. You need to say to God when the bottom falls out of your life, or even when it doesn't, Lord, You're my strength today. It's a great day going on, as our sister Joanne says. She's having blessings, but she's walking in the strength of the Lord because she's acknowledging it. That's what we don't do. In other words, a lot of Christians understand Scripture. They read it. They understand the theology of it. But applying it, there's a problem in the application. I see it on my computer screen once in a while, and I know I'm in trouble. Well, the same thing applies in the spiritual realm. It's all about application. It's about claiming Him as your stronghold, your rock, your salvation. We get so used to praying to God like little children. Oh, Father, thank You for this, and thank You for that, and praise Your name, and do this and do that. I wonder if He grows weary of hearing that. And I think He would rather see me or you or any of His children instead trust in Him with all their heart. Lean not on their own understanding. Take hold of His strength. Go through your life, even if it's a great day today, go through that great day with the strength of God. Because you know what that does? That picks you up from where you would normally be and raises you up a lot higher. Because you're doing it in the Spirit. And anything you do in the Spirit raises you up. Anything you do in the flesh, or you do just because it's a nice day, I feel happy, I don't have anywhere to go, I got this day to myself. But to say, I'm being blessed, that's in the Spirit. That is claiming, and you can claim just like David. I don't care what kind of a Christian you think you are. If you are born again and you really know that, you can claim the sovereignty of, not the sovereignty, but the omnipotence of God in your life, His strength. You can claim Him as your stronghold. You can go under His wing. All of the things that the Bible talks about, you can actually do that spiritually. How many times have I made it known to this congregation that your religion is a state of mind? It's what you think and how you take what you think and apply it to your life. Matter of fact, it was A.W. Tozer who once said the most important thing about us is our understanding of who God is. Because if we understand Him rightly, then we can claim from Him all the things that we have. But if we don't understand Him rightly, then we're all Laodicean. Lukewarm. And that's one of the reasons why the church, the evangelical 21st century church, is in such trouble. That's one of the reasons why. Application, application, application. James makes it so clear. Be ye doers of the word. Claim God. Claim Him for everything in your life. I don't care what it is. I was talking to somebody this morning. And they said, well, it's kind of bad because your wife's sick and she seems to be having more and more problems. I says, yes, but you know what? It's more of an opportunity. Because I'm claiming God's strength in dealing with it. I can't deal with that stuff on my own. How do you watch somebody you love dissolve like an Alka-Seltzer? How do you do that? I have pictures all around my house of my wife when we were younger, not even younger, 10 years ago. And the person that I have now living in my house is her body, but not that lady. But I love her more than I ever loved her before because I have the strength of God. Because I'm not looking at her as an invalid or as a sick person. I'm looking at her as a child of God. That's walking in the strength. That's taking the strength of God. Omnipotent strength. And I tell you this, that if I wasn't a born-again Christian, I wouldn't have my wife in my house the way she is. I have no doubt about that. Because of the old man. I thank God every day he took that old man and he crucified him, and that means he's dead. The only influence I want in my life is I want God. I want those eight things that David called for. I want those in my life because they're the ones that help you get through this life, whether it's sweet or it's bitter. But you have to claim them. That's the secret. You have to put them in your life. You have to make a mental ascent. God is my stronghold. I will not be moved. He's my redeemer. He's my savior. And I'm walking in his strength. And he is omnipotent. Nothing can overcome him. What an example we see of what God will do for us if only we'll trust and obey. That's all we got to do. In the last section of the text, look at what David says. He says, I am help. You think? The term I am help refers to both an internal and an external benefits. When you say you are helped by God, that has two meanings. When a believer maintains their trust in God internally, they have a sense of well-being. That's what I just described to you with my wife. I have a sense of well-being about the whole situation. They're at peace because the God they trust is the God of peace. Romans 15:33. They are joyful because the God, their God, has given them his joy that their joy might be full. John 15:11. And they are anchored in hope. Hebrews 6:19. These are just a few ways David and all believers are helped eternally. You start claiming those things. You start walking in the strength of God. You're going to be helped both internally and externally as well. Externally, David and all believers are helped because they believe. They have faith. 2 Samuel 22:49, he says, he delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. They believe. Joshua 1:5, I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's where you see that passage, June, in Romans 13:5. It comes from Joshua 1:5. Excuse me, Hebrews. And they believe Psalm 49:15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He shall receive me. Selah. These are things that people believe who are helped. You're helped when you believe that and you apply that to your life. And the result of David being helped is seen in the last section of our text. Therefore, it says, my heart greatly rejoices with my song, and I will praise him. Listen, when you feel God's strength coursing through your life, when you eat from God's hand, when you see God doing things in your life or somebody else's life, brother or sister, you can't help but rejoice. And if you're not rejoicing, I don't know why. You're watching God, the sovereign God, alive. You're watching him, you're eating from his hand. You're watching him do things that you know could have never happened. Not one of you here today would be here today on your own if he didn't bring you here at some point in your life. You can't help when you get the victory over anything in this life through Christ. When you walk in the strength of the Lord and you get a victory, how can you help but not break out with joy, with songs of praise? I think sometimes that how many times in the course of a week I sing, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, and Jesus of his love. I'll sing that all day because I'm so full of joy. That doesn't mean that I'm not working a lot. Doesn't mean that I don't have aches and pains. But I'm internally and externally filled with enough joy that it goes beyond that. It anesthetizes it. That's the purpose of it. How about when you get the victory over trials and temptation? Is not your heart filled with so much joy you have to sing praises? What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. You can't help but do that. The music is part of it. Does not the Bible say, sing hymns and make melodies in your heart, rejoicing? That's all part of the deal. That's all part of the application. You have to understand that's where God wants you. In closing, let me ask all of you a question. Are you living your life in your strength or God's strength? Just think about that. If you're living your life in your strength, but this message has stirred your heart to feel the strength of God, you want to know what it's like to feel that strength. You want to know what it's like to go with a hymn in your mouth all the day long. You call me or see me after the service, and I'll show you in God's word how he wants you to walk in his strength. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like you to go home and consider how much of your day is spent in the strength of the Lord, and how much of the day is spent in your own strength. Consider that and be honest about it. If you find you use the Lord's strength only when the bottom falls out of your life, well, you need to correct that. You need to make an adjustment to that. I would remind you of the warning found in Haggai 1:7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. And I guess the question is, why would any believer want to walk in their own strength instead of God's strength? Why would you do that? To go home and think about it. And then rejoice, because you have the ability to claim, the Lord is my strength and my shield. You can claim that and you can live that. Let's pray. Holy Father, it's so easy to read your word and put it in our head and put it in our heart and even discuss it amongst each other. But God, when it comes to giving it legs, we're not as good with that as we should. Would you help us with that? Would you let us go home, Lord, and consider our ways? Consider how we're walking and what strength we're walking, because we're walking in some strength, Lord. It's either yours or ours. It's one or the other. Would you help us with that, Lord? And Lord, if we're found wanting, would you help us to correct that? We know that's your will, so we ask it with great confidence. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being so forthright in telling us what we must do. Give us the strength to do even that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Closing hymn, red hymnal, page 672. Trust and obey, hymn 672. Trust.